Derek Gruen is over from Seattle, from the UW, where he is managing the Rethinking Prosperity Project. Now think about just those two words, Rethinking Prosperity. We'll kind of get you going. And let's see where you take us, Derek. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So we've had some pretty amazing speakers here today. I probably won't be one of them, so I just want you to lower your expectations to start. So I was recently at a gathering of affiliated nations of all tribes, the ATNI, conversation about climate change, and one of the people there told me before I was going up to present that when speaking to tribal councils, it's really important to ground yourself in where you come from and who you are and what you're about. So I'm going to start there because I thought that was great advice. So first I want to recognize, you know, I appreciate your words about the land and recognizing who's there. So I actually don't know the original indigenous people that were on this land. Does someone from here know? Squalum. So I want to thank those folks for being on this land and recognize they were on that land. My parents moved here to Seattle as young adults. Both of them were children of immigrants and fleeing war, but from very different places. One side from pre-World War II Germany, getting out before the war, and the other from pre-Civil War Lebanon. So even though I was born here in Seattle, my family has not been here that long. We've been on the move, and like many of you, are more recent to the places we live. We don't have long roots in a historical community in one place. And for me, that's why I find this work so important, because while I'm in the field of policy and sustainability and new economy, I think for me, at the root of it is this desire to rebuild communities, thriving communities. But today, just preserving communities is pretty difficult. There's a concerted effort, as you know, to divide us and misinform us. And this is not just an American phenomenon. I was recently in Germany, where they're quite afraid of a new political party that has arisen called the AfD, which many people there see, you know, resonance of Nazis, a white nationalist anti-immigrant party, which is pretty scary. That they got about 10% of the last election, and that means that they have some government funding and actually a new position in the administration. But I was also pleased to see people in the streets of Berlin and marching for inclusion. As you've heard this weekend, our economy is a driving force creating this community fragmentation. It demands we go faster and faster and grow bigger and bigger, even as we benefit less and less, atomizing us and undermining relationships and trust. So why is this happening? So this is that piece. There is a big moment here. You know, we are at a pivotal time, and unfortunately, this is being capitalized more by the right than anyone else. I think an important part of the piece is how we frame the problem. So the right has been able to frame the problem as an us and them. I think we need to come up with a different frame. One example of this is just how we think about climate change. And so one framing of climate change, for example, is that in King County, where I live, we have a really green economy. We're better than most of the nation, and we're doing great on climate change. But then that's looking at only a small piece. That's what we emit in Washington State. When you zoom out and think about what we all consume, a different way to look at greenhouse gas emissions, we're actually really not better than the U.S., and we're way above the world. So where you build in that frame of what the problem is it what we produce coming out of only our tailpipes, or is it the whole of our economy, makes a big difference in terms of how you address the problem. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some projects I'm involved in and hopefully inspire you all to take action, because I think action is what we need. We have great ideas, and now we need to act on them. And this is a framework I borrowed from a group called Movement Generation, which is a collective in Oakland. And I think this is really helpful because so often it's easy to get lost in these big ideas but not know where to start. So they recommend kind of a four-step process. We need to expose the economy we know, which is not a good economy, and where it's becoming politically realistic to create that bad economy, we need to oppose it. We need to codify where the economy we need meets with what's politically realistic, and we need to create the alternatives of the economy we need. And throughout this process, we need to be moving what's politically realistic from the economy we know to the economy we need. That's our project, in my mind. So I want to tell you about a few collaborative spaces I've been building community in to advance this process. The first is a coalition called Front and Centered. And Front and Centered, oh, you're familiar, okay, good. Front and Centered is a coalition of organizations rooted in communities of color that are working together on climate change and climate advocacy. They've come together, formed common positions, and moved the dialogue forward on climate change from a justice perspective. What's important about this, well, it's important in itself, both in the process, but what's also exciting is that when you bring together different people to look at the problem of climate change, they come up with different solutions. And this is, again, is a framework I'm borrowing from Movement Generation about a just transition. So a just transition is at the center of what Front and Centered's doing. And they see climate change, well, right now you talk to kind of mainstream climate advocates and climate change is really a problem of the fuels we're using. So the solutions to climate change are 100% green energy, good thing, and electrifying everything. Then we can run on 100% clean energy and we don't have to worry about climate change. But other groups see a different frame, right? Widening the picture, it's not just about what fuels we're using, it's about the whole economy. It's about a consumerist mindset and a colonial mindset. It's about militarism and the enclosure of power wealth, and it's about a system that encourages us to extract, dig, dump, burn. So we need to move to the living economy. So these kind of solutions change the dialogue about climate change, and that's what I appreciate about this project. Another project I've been working on is the People's Economy Project. It's an initiative that lasted about a year, and it's just kind of coming to its initial phase of conclusion, but we'll continue. I'll tell you about that. Actually, when I was in Germany, I thought it was pretty funny. Someone asked me, that Seattle's often known for the big corporations, Amazon, Starbucks, and Costco, and Boeing. And the question was, why do Seattle companies always try to take over the world? it struck me as so true. These are really interesting. Like, why are they doing that? I don't know. I don't really have an answer, but I did. I was able to tell them about other, businesses we have in the Puget Sound region that aren't trying to take over the world. Local businesses that are serving everyday people's needs. So in this project, this was convened initially by Christine Hanna, who was the director of the Seattle Good Business Network and now the new executive director of Yes Magazine. So over 12 months, we got together leaders from communities across Seattle who are working on community economic development, groups like Ventures that is developing small Latino-led businesses, groups like Skyway Solutions working to develop an unincorporated area in King County, groups like Democracy at Work, that are building worker cooperatives. And together, we built a set of shared values and principles and developed an agenda that we would hope would influence Seattle's economic development perspective. Economic development currently at the municipal level is a lot about chasing Amazon, as we recently saw, but we believe there's a better way. So we introduced these ideas at a forum in June as our first project, and so significantly, they've actually been a point of conversation. Carrie Moon, one of the candidates in the Seattle election, has kind of built these ideas into her economic development platform. So they're getting some traction. And the ideas we brought forward are things like build cooperative-led businesses, use anchor institutions to feed small businesses, create a community development authority that takes commercial space off the market. The last project I'll tell you about is kind of the reason that brought me here most today is the Rethinking Prosperity Project, which is at the University of Washington in the Center for Communications and Civic Engagement. This project is a couple years old. This Center for Communication has held various learning communities over the course of its life, and Rethink Prosperity is the most recent. And the focus of the project is building new narratives around what the economy is for, as John DeGraff wrote in his book, and trying to sow a new story about our economy through dialogue, through convenings, through events, and through studying the where new economic ideas are getting traction and starting to take off. Let me see my train of thought. So unfortunately, in some of that research, we didn't see that these alternative economic ideas are yet making a big political difference. And so what we're starting to do now is develop a project called Solutions for, this is actually, some of you saw this earlier from our teaching that we held earlier at convenings, Solutions for Environment, Economy, and Democracy. And what we're hoping to do is reorient the economy from what we know is currently present, where the economy dominates everything, to one where economy is embedded in the society, the environment, society, and the government that controls it. And so we just held our first workshop, actually our second workshop in Germany with a partner university there to ask questions like, what's the economy we want? What kind of democracy do we need? And how do we live within the constraints of our environment? And we're doing this by sewing existing aligned networks together in a network, trying to find communications tools that really allowed these different networks already working in this space to see each other better and build collective strength, and then linking them to political parties and or other political organizations to actually leverage these ideas into the political process. Oftentimes, there's so much good activity happening in this space, but oftentimes it's not connecting to politics. It's happening here and there and here, and they're isolated. And what we've seen is the other side, the right, is connecting to politics. And if we leave politics to the radical right, we're going to be in big trouble. So we believe we need these alternative economy projects to be linked together and to be part of the political narrative. So part of what we're doing is identifying where the good ideas exist, linking them together, and bringing together people to sort ideas into ideas that work both in community and in politics. So that was my time here. Hopefully it's been helpful to hear about some of these projects. I think, you know, especially things like the teach-in, which we did earlier, part of the Rethink Prosperity Project, are very replicable in other communities. Things like the People Economy Project, convening people to develop an agenda and pushing that in policy and during times of elections are very applicable in many communities. So I inspired some action and would love to connect with any of you to hear about projects you're working on and how we can support them. So thank you.